Good morning. Thank you all for coming today. So we're here to celebrate the life of Larry Zabe, the 81 and three quarters, almost 82 years of life that God blessed him with on this earth. And I know it means a lot to the family here to see all of you here today. So thank you very much for coming. Before I have the opening prayer, just one announcement I need to make regarding our bathrooms. Sorry. But we're in a remodel project, so what that means is the two restrooms here in the narthex are for the ladies, both of them, and the men's is down the social hall. The Sunday school wing there is the men's bathroom, so just so you're aware of that. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have made. Lord, we rejoice in you and in your goodness, the promises of your word, that salvation comes to us through Christ alone. Father, on this earth we have just come through celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 weeks ago. And we live in the joy of that every single day when the angels appeared to the women early that first morning and said, "He is not here, he has risen." And Jesus, because you are our risen, resurrected Lord and Savior, we can come to times like this. And yes, there is sorrow, and yes, there's tears and grief, but there is also comfort and joy in knowing where Larry is with you in heaven. And we thank you for that. So as we gather in this sanctuary, we ask, Father, for your presence to fill this place, for you to minister to us by your word and by your spirit, that we know there is hope in Christ. And so we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read a verse from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. It says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." Now, we all know Larry as a very joyful man who we laughed with many, many times over the years. He loved people. He loved to tease. And we enjoyed it all. We can all think of many examples. I'll read the obituary in a moment, but the last one of the last phrases there, it says this so well. Larry was known for many things. But there are two that left the biggest impression. One of them being his big hand wave, as we all know, right? that he would give to everyone. The second one would be his big hugs that we all enjoyed as well. I'd like to read the obituary. Before we read the obituary, we're going to sing our opening hymn. We sort of changed things up today, so we're going to sing Amazing Grace, number 343. And so if you're able and would like to stand, please do so as we sing Amazing Grace. Like me. may be seated. Thank you. Now I will read the obituary. Larry Zabe was born on June 15, 1942, to Marvin and Wilma Auk Zabe in Yankton, South Dakota. Larry was united in marriage to the love of his life, Marjorie Fryer, for 60 years. They purchased a farm 4 miles south of Menno. Along with farming, he worked many other side jobs, doing electrical work with his father, with the Lair well drilling, the Menno Mercantile. In 1996, Larry and Carl Zabe bought Zabe Construction, known as the Blade Runners. Larry retired from the Blade Runners after 17 enjoyable years. I want to just add something in here about his time in the Air National Guard. That was how Larry served just before and after Larry and Marge got married. And she said he fixed the instruments in the airplanes. That was his job. So God bless him for his service to our nation. Larry was well known for many things, but here are two that left the biggest impression. One of them being his big hand wave he would give everyone. The second one would be his big hugs. Larry is loved and remembered and survived by his loving wife, Marge, his two daughters, Bonnie Bauer of Houston, Texas, and Tammy and Jerry Fisher of Menno. One granddaughter, Sydney Simon of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Three brothers, Curtis and Elaine Zabe of Lesterville, South Dakota. Milo Zabe of Phillip, South Dakota. Scott and Mindy Zabe of O'Neill, Nebraska. And one sister, Renee and Virgil Serrata of Tabor, South Dakota. Plus many nieces and nephews and close dear friends. Larry was preceded in death by his parents, Marvin and Wilma Auk Zabe, and his twin brothers, Max and Mark Zabe. May God bless his memory always in our hearts and our minds. I'd like to read the 23rd Psalm. This was Larry's favorite passage of Scripture and his desire for today. So if you would like to join me, you are welcome to do so. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. From the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We come to verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We'll sing number 762, What a Day That Will Be. The words should be on the screen, or if you want to use your hymnal, number 762.
There is coming a day when no heart
in the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and he took upon his face the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And that will be a glorious day. And that is a glorious day for Larry as he's experiencing all of that. From the Gospel of John, chapter 10, starting in verse 11, Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Amen. This John 10 and the 23rd Psalm, they just tie in so closely together. And again, as I said earlier, the 23rd Psalm was Larry's favorite, as it is for many, many people. It is. He told me this more than once. It was a year or so ago. He asked if I could type that out bigger for him on a paper, which I did, and laminated it, and that became one of his daily readings of Scripture. In John 10, two times Jesus tells us that phrase, I am the good shepherd. Two times in those verses, he says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we know that was the cross, only to take it up again. And he did, as we just celebrated that. But as we walk through this life, I hope we realize the privilege of Psalm 23, that we can say that to Jesus, Lord, you are my shepherd. And then we see all the blessings that come with it. Anyone who has farmed, which are many of you here, which included Larry and Marge in their earlier years, raising livestock and crops and milking cows. It was just said last night that when they started or bought the business with Carl in 1996, they were still milking. But anyone knows the sacrifices involved in that type of work for the livestock. It's incredible, the farmer's love for the animals, taking care of them. And they know their master's voice, don't they? The animals know that. They know your voice. And so he compares this, Jesus did, my sheep know my voice. And we do, we need to. He knows your name. He knows the number of hairs upon your head. In Psalm 95, we're told even very directly, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. We are the sheep. He is the good shepherd. And so what does the good shepherd do for his sheep? That's what Psalm 23 lays out for us so beautifully in these verses. And I just want to walk through that here for a little bit this morning as we think about Larry and his life. But the first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Well, we're coming right into that season, aren't we, of green pastures right now. Hopefully we get a little rain tonight, make everything green up all the more and just be lush, and it's a beautiful time. But the green pastures in the psalm and with the shepherd and his sheep, naturally speaking, I've never had sheep, but from what I've read and talked to people about, it's not the easiest thing for sheep to just lay down and be at peace. They have to be confident in their shepherd and their surroundings and their pasture, and then they can do that. And so with us as Jesus, as our good shepherd, as we walk through this life, we have to be confident in Him and know that He's got us. He's got us. The sheep have to be free from worry, free from the cares of their surrounding, and we do too in the crazy world in which we live. And I think of Marge, caregiver here, a wonderful caregiver these last years. And Jesus worked through you to where Larry could lay down and rest, knowing that you were there, blessing him. It goes on, He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Sheep, of course, as all creatures, they have to have water. This I learned with them. They prefer not to drink out of a stream or a flowing brook. They would like the stillest of all water, which is the morning dew. That is their preference above any other source. And it is refreshing to them. And so as we walk with the Lord all our years, our good shepherd, He does refresh us day, by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and by His Word. We come up to the next phrase, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Okay, we're going in this psalm, we're 1,000 years before Christ being born, so we're going back 3,000 years ago. The paths of righteousness. But what were their paths at that time? Naturally, we could say that would be their roads. And what do we like to travel on? Smooth roads, don't we? And what did Larry love to do? He took great joy and pride in making your roads in your townships as smooth and clean as they could be. And that getting that crown on the road just right and the gravel layered out just right. And moving the snow for you in the winter months, him and Carl, of course, together in all kinds of conditions. That is what he enjoyed for those 17 years that he did it. And that was a hard decision to let that go. But how about this? How about let's come to our good shepherd. He, Jesus, leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's always God's will for our lives as we walk through our days on this earth, that we walk on His path, those paths of righteousness. He tries to lead us in that way. Remember, we're the sheep. He's the shepherred. And I've said this by numerous times to the congregation here, comparing us to sheep, and we know that, but we don't always follow. And sheep don't always follow, naturally speaking. One of the grandmas from our church who's gone to heaven a few years ago, when I talked to her about sheep, she always would say, you know what? My dad had sheep, and he got rid of them when I was growing up because he always said they're exactly where they were not supposed to be. And that's us. As people, we can be that way, right? What do we call that? We call it sin. But the Good Shepherd came to do something about our sin problem, that disease that we are all infected with. Everybody. That's where John 3:16 comes in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why he came, to lead us in those paths of righteousness. So it's the Good Shepherd, Jesus, who does the seeking for the lost sheep. That's us. He does the finding. He does the lifting. He does the carrying. We've all seen the picture or the carving of that shepherd with the sheep over his shoulders, that little lamb. He does the saving. He does the restoring of the lost as we come to him. And then the fourth point. Yea, or even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, that's his word, they comfort me. Does a shadow hurt? We know it doesn't. A shadow does not hurt. We can be going down the road, and if the sun's just right, maybe it's more in town when we're going slower, a big semi's coming, and the shadow is cast over us. It doesn't hurt at all. And so as believers in Jesus Christ, death does not hurt. That's what he says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And Larry passed through the valley of the shadow of death last week, Tuesday morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning. And when that last breath was drawn, he was instantly with the Lord. That fast. First, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, where, O death, is your victory? It's not for the believer. Where, O death, is your sting? It's not. He answers, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in Christ alone. So when we know Jesus as our good shepherd, 1 Thessalonians says we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. Our hope is in Christ. Yes, there is sorrow. That is part of this. The next phrase, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The table that Jesus prepares for us in the presence of our enemies. So that's not heaven, because there are no enemies in heaven. That's as we live our lives on this earth and walk through it. That's where we face the enemies, Satan and all his evil forces. The table of blessings, that I could go in for the rest of the day of what Jesus has done for us. But let's just talk about family and the blessings of 60 years of marriage and children and grandchildren and so much. So much more. But the anointing oil. Why did the shepherd anoint the sheep's head with oil? Thou anointest my head with oil. The shepherd did that. We do it in different ways today. Naturally, I'm talking right now. But then it was a type of oil mixed with these things that I won't go into. They anointed that sheep's head with oil because the flies, or bots as they're called, would try to crawl up in the nostrils and lay their eggs there, and they would hatch, and it would just torment those sheep almost to the death. Well, that's a little graphic, I realize, but our minds have to be protected as we walk through this earth with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, because where does the enemy attack? with our thoughts. He can attack and attack and attack, and we know that. And as we grow in our walk with the Lord, whatever years He gives us, we learn how to deal with those attacks more and more. I shared this last night. I just want to share it again here this morning because I guess to me as a pastor, it was so beautiful and moving. As in this last year, when I'd visit with Larry and Marge, and even more than this last year, but over the years that we've been here, you know, I could just see his faith growing, growing, growing. And it was a month ago today, March 15th, except that day was a Friday. I'd gone to visit and take communion, and we were talking about some scriptures, and before I left that day, Larry said to me, "Pastor Mike, I just want you to know that right now the Lord and I are just like that." And that, praise the Lord. Is that bragging? No, that's not bragging. That's how we should all be able to say that. Was Larry perfect? No. Forgiven? Yes. And that's how we walk with the Good Shepherd, like this, through our lives. It finishes up, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That can speak of in His presence on this earth, but it speaks of heaven where He is now. God's goodness and mercy are there with you every single day. And Jesus is the shepherd, your shepherd, on the path of this life when things are smooth. He is your shepherd when you're going through the valleys and you don't know how you can face tomorrow. But because He lives, we can. We know that. He is your shepherd when you're having a good day. He's your shepherd when you're having a bad day. A bad hair day, like today. At least Larry didn't have to comb his hair, did he? No. We need to know that, and He loves you incredibly as your good shepherd. Closing, I want to read Romans 10, 9 and 10. Many of us know it. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. At the time when this is written in the Roman Empire, I've read that once a year, because the Roman emperor was considered a god at that time. And the citizens of the Roman Empire once a year had to go before a statue, an image of the emperor, and they had to burn incense and say, "Caesar is Lord." And if you refused, it usually meant death. That was the price they had to pay for faith in Christ. We have it so easy today, really. We think. When we come to these times, we all sure should be thinking about eternity, because we are all going to be at this place someday. I heard a minister say just recently, he said, many people miss heaven only by 18 inches. And when he said that, he paused a while too, and I'm like, what's he meaning there? And then he said it again, many people miss heaven only by 18 inches, from the head to the heart. It's one thing to know all about Jesus. It's an entirely different thing to know Him as Lord and Savior. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. We just can't imagine where we'd be, Lord, without You. The comfort it brings to us knowing of Larry's walk with You and how his faith grew stronger and that relationship developed over the years. And Lord, I pray that we ponder You this day. You know every one of us here. You know everything about us. You know how our walk is with You, or if it is not. and you reach out and you draw us to yourselves. I pray that, Lord, if anyone's here today and they're thinking, I don't know. Maybe some might be thinking, I don't really care. Just get on with it. Lord, you still love every one of us just the same, incredibly. I pray that you would do your work in each of our hearts and minds and lives as only you can do, to open the eyes of our understanding to who you are, Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'll have a closing prayer. If you that are able would stand with me for this, at which time I'll go into the Lord's Prayer. We're accustomed to using the words debts and debtors here, but however you prefer is your choice. Let's pray once more, please. Heavenly Father, we do give you glory and honor and praise for this day. For you, Lord, you're the giver of life. You're the conqueror of death. You are God Most High. And we thank you for Jesus, our Savior and Lord, as you are, as we know, Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. And you said in your word that whoever lives and believes in you, though he would die physically, yet shall he live. And Jesus, you went on to say, whoever lives and believes in you would never die. That's amazing to think about. We are spirit beings, and it's just a stepping over into eternity, as Larry did last week. And so, Father, with faith in your great mercy and wisdom, we do entrust Larry Zabe to your eternal care. We praise you for your steadfast love to Larry all the days of his earthly life. And we thank you for all that he was and still is to those of us here today and all the many more that knew him and loved him, for all the memories he has left us with that we will never forget. And finally, Lord God, we thank you that for Larry, death itself has now passed, and that he has entered heaven to spend eternity with you. He's free from the confines and struggles of his physical body. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you receive the benediction, please. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Savior, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good, that you may do God's will, working in you that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Before you're seated, I'll have a prayer for the lunch, which is in the social hall, and you are all invited and welcome. I know the family would appreciate it very much if you're able to stay. We've had the committal service before, so we'll just go straight into the social hall. Let me pray. Father, for our time of fellowship and lunch now in the social hall, we thank you for that. As memories can be shared and laughter expressed, as Larry was always one to bring great joy and make us laugh in so many ways. Thank you for blessing the food to the nourishment and strength of our bodies. Thank you for the women of the church who will serve the meal and have done a large part in preparing it. Thank you for others who have brought salads and cakes, desserts to share in this meal. Bless it for our nourishment, I pray in Jesus' name. We will have the song played, Go Rest High on That Mountain, as we're being dismissed.
afraid to face the devil. You were no stranger to the rain. So go rest high on that mountain. The sun you were. Gathered round your grave to grieve. Wish I could see angels' faces when they